are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, July the 21st, and no coronavirus cases in the NBA and also talking video games. A positive podcast today. How about that? This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys. And a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm not feeling so good these days, but we're going to fake it. We're going to get through it because the news out there is kind of okay for the first time in a while from the sports front. Obviously, there's the human devastation that's going on throughout the world. That's bad, of course. But we can compartmentalize some things and hopefully have some fun here on the Locked On Pistons podcast today. Some good news coming from the bubble in Orlando. We're also going to talk to the most clutch Pistons fan maybe of all time today. Did something that we should all try to strive to do. How can we be better Pistons fans? Our guest today was going to tell you all about that. The creator of NBA Jam. That's right, Mark Turmel. If you're online, if you read the Detroit Free Press this weekend, you know all about Mark's story, and we're going to piggyback onto that for a talk with him today. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give us a follow on the new Twitter feed as well, Play_Michigan, for all the sports gambling regulation, casino sportsbook openings. When is online betting going to come to your phone here in the state of Michigan? All that information is right at your fingertips at playmichigan.com. But hey, next week is the NBA season. We are a few days away from the start of Major League Baseball. The Tigers heading down to Cincinnati to play a couple exhibition games before opening their season on Friday in the Queen City down in Ohio. Good stuff. So the San Francisco Giants kneeling during the national anthem. Great stuff to have the people get really upset on Twitter about that. Love that. Love those folks getting a little dunked on. Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, dunking on the anthem crowd, the anti-anthem crowd, I should say, the anti-kneeling of the anthem crowd. I don't want to misrepresent what some things are, but it's decent times. The polls, if you're paying attention to the polls, don't get too comfortable, but feeling good. Maybe things are changing in a different direction. And again, personally, your boy kind of dealing with some illness here, but we're going to fight through it. And where there isn't illness right now, 0 for 346. That was the positive test rate at the NBA bubble as announced for the last couple weeks, an accumulation of tests done down in Orlando as the teams are getting ready for the NBA season restart, 8 games apiece starting on July 30th, followed by a regular-sized playoffs. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you guys are too. A lot of good stuff going on for sports fans after a dreary and long few months of staring at your phones and hopefully taking care of yourselves as much as possible. But yeah, Thursday, July 30th, in case you haven't heard, 2 games going to kick off the restart here. The Utah Jazz and the New Orleans Pelicans at 6:30 p.m. on TNT, followed by the Clippers and the Lakers. Just like opening night, just like Christmas night, the restart will open with Clippers-Lakers on Thursday night, followed by a Friday slate of games, 2:30, 2 games at 4 o'clock, 6:30, 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock. So all day long, basketball, all day long, every day. And as someone who kind of works from home and can keep my eye on the TV, I'm excited about it. And hopefully all things continue positively going forward in terms of the virus, potential spread, the outside of the bubble in Florida, so things don't get a little bit shifty there if they kind of have to maybe shut things down in case they need the more tests for the folks who need it down in Florida, as they should. And so, yeah, just hoping that everything kind of goes well. The sports world returns. We can have things to talk about here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. And, yeah, excited for that. Now, we know that Zion Williamson and Montrezl Harrell left the bubble. Sounds like family situations, although the NBA isn't really disclosing guys who are sick, as they shouldn't, but still makes for a strange way for journalists and fans to digest the information that is in front of them. But we're excited about it. July 30th is coming. Another point raised today that I saw online, I haven't read the article yet, but there are friends at DetroitBadBoys.com, and I'm not even sure who wrote the story, but it said that the Pistons fans should be rooting for Memphis Grizzlies, or that maybe this particular writer is rooting for the Memphis Grizzlies. That's a good angle that we can talk about here on the podcast, so we're going to steal that angle. And who are you rooting for and why? That's what I want to hear from you guys. Give us a call on the Google voicemail line, 810-666-1546. Give us your name. Tell us where you're calling from. And who are you rooting for to win the title and why? Is it something to do with the Pistons? Is it something to do with Troy Weaver? Is it something to do with the style of the team? Is there a player out there in the league that you've always liked? Do you want to see get a title? Are you a LeBron guy? Do you want to see Giannis get it done? Do you want to have certain teams get it out of their system so that maybe if the Pistons are good in a couple few years that they can kind of get through those teams in the Eastern Conference? All sorts of different reasons out there. Why? Is there a former Piston out there that you want to see have success? Is there a team that you want to see get a title so they can break up? Whatever it is, I'm sure there's a million reasons. Give us a call, 810-666-1546. Let us know who you're rooting for in the NBA bubble, and we'll play those voicemail messages this week. But up next, we're going to talk to Mark Turmel, Bay City boy done good, the creator of NBA Jam, started from scratch in the video game developing world, and has now reached the heights. He's the LeBron James of sports video game makers. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
And now we're being joined by Mark Turmel, a guy who had a big impact on my teenage years. I'll tell you that right now, although he didn't know it. But Mark, thanks for taking the time to join us on Locked On Pistons.
No, I'm excited to help out and participate. Love the Pistons, love Michigan sports.
Yeah, and it's great to connect back home, but you helped us out a lot over the years. You are one of the creators, the main creator of NBA Jam, the arcade game turned video game for, Genesis and Nintendo 64 and all those back in those days. Also contributed to Smash TV and NFL Blitz as well. Now, I know that probably today, a kid that wants to get into video game developing, they probably got their choice of programs, choice of schools to get into, but I know you back in the day in Bay City didn't have those kind of choices, and you kind of self-taught yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Back in the early days, there were no programs, in the colleges. So everybody was pretty much self-taught, learning how to program, put things on the screen. Back in that era, everything was innovative. So it was, it was fun to see the new arcade games coming out. Because everything was an innovation. Everything was brand new. Old school.
Yeah, so how did it work in those early days? You had the Apple II was the first system that you had kind of worked on, and that was on your own without being part of a company, right?
Yeah, that's right. When I was 15, I started learning how to program. Was able to, get a bunch of stuff on the screen. You had to really go into assembly language, which is kind of a lower level language that can put things up on the screen faster. And after I learned that, I did my first game at 15. I think I was making royalty checks of like $10,000 a month for this first game I made. And, I was working on a second game. And I didn't know the value of a dollar back then. It's what eventually, kind of derailed my college efforts because I realized that I was already on to something.
So did you go straight from your teenage years to getting employed full time then?
Yeah, exactly. You might remember the Atari VCS, cartridge-based system, Pitfall, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I got hired to make Atari VCS cartridges way back in like 82, 81. And eventually went to work for Activision, during the heyday of that console generation. And so I never really looked back. I was going to Ferris State University there in Big Rapids, enjoying it, just a 18-year-old. But, eventually just left to move to California.
Now, was the community of video game developers back then a small group that were all kind of getting all this work done, and now I'm guessing there's folks all over the world. Is that kind of the narrative of the
absolutely. In fact, it used to be you could do a game all by yourself, and then it became like a game like NBA Jam was, you know, five or six of us making a game. And today, the game I'm working on is I have over 60 people working, you know, nonstop on the game. So it's definitely a changed, you know, changed landscape.
Now, going back to NBA Jam there, was that the biggest project that you had worked on, at least to that point? Is that the kind of, I mean, I know about playing it as a teenager at Total Soccer and Royal Oak. Is that your signature thing for your career?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I hate to say that, you know, I'll never top that, but I did say that over the years. I think my current game will be a blockbuster. I'm working on a Harry Potter game. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, NBA Jam, it just kind of set new records back then. It obviously still kind of resonates for people even today. You know, there's a arcade one-up version of NBA Jam that's, you know, shipping this year. I think it's going to be a big, you know, even home purchase product this Christmas holiday season. So it never really kind of goes away. It, you know, it still resonates and it still holds up pretty well as a game playing experience. So yeah, that's probably the peak.
Yeah. I got to tell you, when I'm watching games now and guy hits three shots in a row, I'm thinking he's on fire. And I did play the arcade version a couple years ago in Chicago at Emporium there in Wicker Park. So I'm still trying to play as much NBA Jam as I can.
Yeah, well, this you know, this arcade one-up stuff is actually simulating the ROMs, or it's emulating the ROMs. So it's actually the real game, just respun into a new cabinet. And it even has Wi-Fi enabled, so you can play others head-to-head, you know, over the board.
Yeah, that sounds great. And something, like you said, the Christmas holiday that everyone should be looking for there. But like I said, when I was a teenager, we would play the indoor soccer game, but you'd almost want to get the soccer game over with so you could go back and play some more NBA Jam. And I can remember the crowds of people around that. Do you have a story like that in the moment that where you kind of realized, wow, this thing is huge, this thing has taken off to where it was at that point?
Yeah, absolutely. The you know, in the arcade business, you test a game locally in local arcades. And so the game was made in Chicago. You know, I'm downtown Chicago and testing the game at different, you know, kind of inner city arcades open till, you know, 4 a.m. You know, some rough areas. And I saw all this action. This, you know, people would do a dunk and they'd scream and, you know, run around the arcade, come back, and I saw fist fights. You know, people would, you know, that was a four-player game. The winning team could stay on for free. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a very competitive game. But I thought, you know, this is the Michael Jordan era, right? So the Bulls are dominating. I thought maybe there's a chance this is just a Chicago phenomenon. And it was not until I flew out to L.A., where we had a test location in Westwood, which is kind of the UCLA campus. Mm-hmm. And when I walked into that arcade, you know, stood back to watch the action, it was the same bedlam that was happening in Chicago, but it was with the Lakers instead of the Bulls. And so it wasn't really until that moment where I realized, well, this game is definitely going to resonate in at least, you know, 28 cities, mm-hmm, with the different NBA teams. And little did I know that it would, you know, it would resonate really for everybody. I had a lot of people over the years say, hey, I was never into the NBA until I played NBA Jam. I enjoyed it. I got to know the players and have followed it ever since. It seems kind of crazy to say that the NBA Jam coin-op game could have had an impact on the popularity of the NBA, but it probably did.
Yeah, I think everyone was playing it, even if you weren't a big sports fan or NBA fan back then. But I read the article that Omari Sankofa caught up with you as well for the Free Press over the weekend. And another anecdote was that Shaq was pretty fond of the game. Why don't you spin that yarn for us, too?
Yeah, That was funny. When the game came out, he bought two units right off the bat. We got a phone call from his agent, and he wanted two games. And I was like, "Well, what does he need, you know, two games for? You know, we can help him out." And he said one for his house, and then the Orlando Magic actually traveled with one coin-op game from city to city to city on their private plane. They would, at every stop, they would wheel it out, and they would bring it over to the hotel. And I assume it was in Shaq's suite, but the players would sit and play NBA Jam there in the hotel. And as I understand it, a lot of gambling would happen. And that's how Shaq, you know, leveraged just two games, one at the home and one on the road with the team.
And he still leaves the Magic to go play for LA. Unbelievable that he couldn't appreciate all the perks they got for him. With Mark Turmel, the creator of NBA Jam, one of the iconic video games, really the iconic sports video game of my time. And I know that all the young guys are playing the NBA 2K League and everything, but if a lot of listeners of this podcast are younger, but I can't emphasize enough to you guys who weren't around for this craze how big a deal this was in the early to mid-90s back in the day. But one of the favorites of that game was the hidden characters, right? You had some of the baseball players. I believe Ken Griffey was one of the characters you could get.
Yeah,
I might be wrong about that.
Yeah, Ken Griffey Jr. Was friends with Gary Payton. Gary Payton didn't make the cut on the first NBA Jam. He was a rookie. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was going to blow up. And so he was mad right off the bat that he was not in the game. And so he reached out. He sent his photographs in to be part of the project. And so I did that for him. And then he called back and said, "Hey, my buddy is Ken Griffey Jr. He loves the game. He wants to be in the game." And so it kind of cascaded from there. So Griffey ended up being in the product as a special secret character on some of the games.
Okay.
Not all of them that launched worldwide.
And what about Bill Clinton too, right?
Yeah, Bill Clinton was in the home. Yep. But just, for your younger listeners, to put it in context, NBA Jam, that first 12 months, collected $1 billion, and that's, one quarter at a time. So $4 billion for this game, and that's when the number one film of all time also came out at the same time. That was, it was the number one at the time, Jurassic Park.
Uh-huh.
And, that was like, 300, 320 million. So wow. To kind of put it in context, it was just a massive phenomenon there in 93.
Yeah, so earned three times more revenue than the biggest movie in the world. And obviously Jurassic Park, one of the biggest blockbusters of all time, not just that year too. Yeah, and I'm still pumping quarters. And like I said, me and I had Isaiah and Joe beat Clyde Drexler and Terry Porter back in Emporium and Wicker Park a couple years back. So I'm still doing my part. So I'm trying to help you out. Now, Mark, the famous story that gets around, of course, and that gets around Reddit and everyone talks about on the internet is your Pistons fandom and the quirk about meeting Michael Jordan and the Bulls. How did that all come about? And I guess confirm the rumors of the legend of NBA Jam.
Yeah, well, it's true. When I moved to Chicago, it was 1989, and I was telling the guys, and I was a big Pistons fan, and the Pistons were on top of the world. That was the bad boy era, back-to-back world championships, unstoppable. I remember telling the guys in the office, who, of course, hated the Pistons and their violent kind of streak, mm-hmm. and I said, "Hey, this Jordan guy, they're going to, he's a good player, but they're going to run him out of town by the time this Piston run is over." Because he was going down to the Pistons every year.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the tide turned. And, by 93, it was clear that the Jordan and the Bulls were, were there to stay. And they became the dominant team. And so as I was working on NBA Jam and, you know, gambling with the guys in the office as we develop it, it was my only recourse to kind of level the playing field was to have the game cheat against the Bulls when the Pistons were playing. And a lot of people say, well, that's totally unfair. They, you know, kind of fought back. And so I did dampen it a little bit where it wasn't a total victory, but the Bulls would lose or miss last second shots against the Pistons anytime that's the matchup. And that's enough to, that's enough to kind of tilt the playing field if you're picking those two teams.
That's unbelievable. That might be the greatest Pistons fan take one for the team story that I've ever heard, is that you set it up, you set up the world's most popular sports video game, maybe ever, to do that and against Michael Jordan and the Bulls. I think that's maybe the greatest story I've heard all summer. So, Mark, congratulations for that. Thank you from Pistons fans throughout the world as well. Now, why don't you tell us one more time about the NBA Jam product that hopefully will be available this Christmas time, or anything else you want to plug out there in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not necessarily involved, but the arcade company, Arcade 1UP, they make smaller versions of classic coin-op arcade games. Street Fighters and Mortal Kombats and Pac-Mans are all available to buy from this company, and they basically emulate the original EEPROMs that were in the game. And NBA Jam is their latest product that's shipping now and this fall and for the holiday season. You can actually buy an NBA Jam cabinet with the original game. It includes Tournament Edition as well and NBA Hang Time. And the interesting wrinkle that this company added is Wi-Fi connection, so that you can compete head-to-head with other players in the world, or at least in the United States right now, head-to-head on that coin-op game.
Sounds like an amazing purchase for the basketball fan in your life. But Mark Turmel, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the weather out there in California, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thank you so much, man.
Thanks again to Mark Turmel, the creator of NBA Jam. I didn't get around to asking him about how he's coped with being a Pistons fan these last 10 years. You know what? I just wanted to keep the show positive today. That's all. So that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.